Have we ever practiced self-censorship? You know what self-censorship is? It's when we hold back on saying what we really think because we're afraid of offending people, we're afraid of losing people's friendship, we're afraid of getting in trouble. One time I was at dinner with a friend and he said he was against gay marriage. And I said, why are you whispering? He's whispering. But he didn't say anything offensive. He didn't say anything mean. He's stating his opinion. He's allowed to. But he was still afraid. Do you ever practice self-censorship? Are there certain times you hold back at work? Certain topics you don't talk about? You don't say you're full, what you really think? Someone emailed me recently. He said, I censor myself during my homilies. And this is part of what he said. He said, your homilies are straight and to the point. But at the same time, I get the feeling that you're holding back on saying a lot more. I remember when Father so-and-so was at such and such a parish, his homilies would go on and on, somewhere between 30 to 45 minutes. Do you want to know who he's talking about? Which priest? It's Father. Whereas yours are clear, cogent, and concise, but there is more to it, I feel. And then he quoted Darth Vader against me. He says, search your feelings. You know it be true. I did search my feelings, and I think he's right. I think I do hold back a little. I'll tell you why. I fear that some people here can't handle the whole truth. I fear that some of you who are coming to Christ may not come back because you might hear something you disagree with. I fear your spiritual journey might end. Now, that concern is partially legitimate. It's also partially wrong because I don't think I'm trusting enough in God. I don't think I'm trusting enough in your maturity to handle something you disagree with. And that's really bad on my part. God calls us to be prophets who speak the truth. The first reading is about the call of Jeremiah. He lived in the 7th and 6th century BC. The people of Israel were living immoral lives. They were turning to false gods, and God sent Jeremiah to tell them their sins, to tell them the truth, to tell them they've got to change their way of life. It says this, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So let's break down this beautiful passage into four parts. First, God knows us before we're alive because he exists outside of time. And he has this great plan for us to be loved and to love. And that word consecrated means to separate something or someone for the service of God, especially for worship. But Pope Benedict XVI says, whenever you consecrate something, you separate it, you make it holy. You're not only separating it for God's service, you're also separating it in order to serve other people, in order to heal them. So all of us who are baptized, that means we're consecrated. That means we are consecrated in order to love not only God, but also other people. That word prophet, in the Bible we've talked about before, prophet isn't someone who primarily predicts the future. A prophet in the Bible is someone who speaks God's word, who reveals God's face, who God is, and how we're supposed to live. And finally, all of us are supposed to be prophets, but not just to a small group of people. We're supposed to be prophets to the nations. Because Israel in the Old Testament, Israel was actually supposed to be the older brother to all the nations. So God would choose this people in order to be an older brother to lead everyone back home to himself. So we hear this beautiful passage and we realize, wow, we are so loved. We have been known even before we're born and we've been chosen to speak the truth. Now, if we're going to speak the truth, we have to do it in love. The prophet Jeremiah, of all the prophets in the Old Testament, he was the most sensitive to God's love for the people. He really knew, wow, God loves us so much. And he was very sensitive to our love, how our love should be for God. So whenever he spoke the truth, it was done out of love. And then God says, therefore, gird up your loins. Stand up and tell them everything that I command you. Do not break down before them. And I, for my part, have made you today a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to deliver you. So that phrase, gird up your loins, means to carry out God's call promptly and to get ready for combat And the phrase fortified city means to have steadfast strength and to be a firm person of God. So let's take this beautiful reading, this call of God, let's apply it now to our own situation. That phrase that we have just heard, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, has been used by the church for thousands of years to emphasize the reality that life starts at conception, in the womb. And because in 1 month's time, we're going to do our 4 days pro-life witness vigil outside of BC Women's Hospital where they do abortions, today we have to talk about abortion. I heard a story once about Padre Pio, the famous Italian priest who's now a saint. Padre Pio could read souls in confession, and he knew when people were lying to him in confession. By the way, I have that gift too. I know when you're lying. Now, one time, a woman came, and she talked to him about a dream she was having endlessly. In her dream, she would see on a hill, a man dressed in white. And she asked Padre Pio, I can't get rid of this dream. What is the meaning of this dream? And he said, that's your son whom you aborted. He was going to be the Pope. Now the point is that that baby had a future. He was going to be someone. God had a plan for him. Whenever we talk about abortion or any difficult topic, as Jesus tells us today, it has to be done out of love. So I want to assure all of you, I am doing this out of love for you. And there are 3 reasons why I'm doing this. First, we have to stop the killing of 41 million babies every year worldwide by abortion. How many? 41 million every year abortions worldwide. We also have to do it because everyone suffers from abortion, even if we don't talk about it. And if we talk about it, people who have had abortions or have been involved will turn to God for forgiveness and healing. And we have to do it also in case any of us ever feel tempted to choose this path. Now, speaking the truth in love, it means showing respect for people, but not holding back. The famous Ben Shapiro says, facts over feelings, and he's right. So if I were to hold back, that would be an insult to you, because it means I'm not trusting you to understand. The foundational argument in the abortion debate is truth. Now, pro-choice people say it's always choice, but truth comes before choice. So when we go to the supermarket, you can choose whatever food you want to buy, right? That's your choice. But what happens if some of the meat is contaminated? Well, now that's going to be lethal, and the government will take off meat that is contaminated so that we don't choose it. It will take away our choice, right? Because it's a bad choice. So the question is, in abortion, of course it's a choice. People say, well, it's my choice. Of course it's a choice. We're not arguing that. We're saying, what kind of choice is it? Is it a lethal choice? So if any parent were to buy contaminated meat and feed it to their kids, they would be arrested for child abuse, and rightfully so. Now, people in favor of abortion, they often sidestep that question saying, well, there's no consensus. Some people think it's the fetus is a person, some people don't. So pro-life mothers, well, they think their child is a person. They can treat it the way they want. Pro-choice mothers, they disagree. There's no consensus, so we should let each person decide for themselves. It's their choice. But of course, that's not logical, right? Because if we apply that same logic to women, in the world, there's no consensus on the value of women. In our society, women are equal to men, and that's right. But not in every country. Today, no. So based on that logic, should we let every country just treat women the way they want? That wouldn't be logical. Pro-life people are not making preference claims. We're making factual claims. Go back to the food example. If I give you an apple or an orange, you can choose whichever you want. That's a preference claim. But if one of those fruits is poisoned, it's now a factual claim. One of those fruits could kill you. So it's no longer a matter just of preference. It's also which will nourish, which will kill, right? So when we argue that fetuses are persons, that's a factual claim. And if people are going to disagree, they have to provide us with better facts. Now, ignorance is not an acceptable response. So let's say we're about to demolish a building. And the foreman, before they have the big wrecking ball come in, the foreman says, well, we don't know if anyone's inside. Okay, start it up. What? No, you have to be 100% sure that no one's inside before you start the demolition. And the same thing with abortion. You can't do abortion until you're 100% sure that the fetus is not a person. And that will require better facts. So let's look at a diagram of fetal development from conception until 9 months. When does life begin? Biology says that life begins at conception. Now, why is that? What do humans procreate? No. Humans procreate humans. And if life doesn't begin at conception, is it when the brain forms? If we go back, is it when the brain forms at 8 weeks? When the heart forms at 9 weeks? When the eyes form at 10 weeks? Babies feel pain 20 weeks or earlier into their development. And when does Canada allow abortion? Do you know? You can say it. The whole way through. So look at that chart. In Canada, anywhere along the line of pregnancy, we're allowed to have an abortion. Now, there are three other countries we've mentioned before that allow this. Only three countries in the world have no restrictions on abortion, besides Canada. They are North Korea, China, and Vietnam. All communist countries. That is wrong. That is murder. God does not want us to censor ourselves because we are called from before we were born to be prophets. And our parish vision tells us to be like Jesus. That is our aspiration, to love like him, to speak the truth in love. And every sin, no matter how dark, can be forgiven. And so in our pews today, you can pull out those cards for the 40 days for life. Those are, if you can just hand them out and we can look at them together. These sign-up cards are for 4 days, starting after Ash Wednesday, March 7th to 10th, Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're wondering if you would choose to spend an hour or more in pro-life vigil. We're giving an opportunity to pray and stand up for unborn children. If you choose to, you can sign it, fill it out, and put it in the collection basket.